This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The hunger crisis in Gaza leading to 8 more deaths due to malnutrition, according to the Hamas-run health ministry. Hamas also released a video this week appearing to show an emaciated Israeli hostage, Evyatar David. His brother, Eli David, addressing the UN Security Council today, pleading for action.
My brother and the other hostages have endured an unimaginable nightmare. This is not just a figure of speech. Their lives are truly hanging by a thread.
Israel's prime minister also facing increased pressure, now considering a military solution to get the remaining hostages out. Texas Democrats failed to appear for a special session again today, protesting GOP redistricting maps. The governor is calling for Democrats to be arrested. And the Coast Guard out with its final report of the Titan submersible implosion 2 years ago, finding that it was preventable and Oceansgate's CEO survived. They would have recommended charges. This is ABC News.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. Today in city government, the Judiciary and Administration Committee will consider an ordinance restricting the sale of hemp-derived cannabinoids to people ages 21 and over. The committee will also take up a resolution to replace the green bubblers found around La Crosse with drinking fountains, while a different resolution seeks to preserve the bubblers for historic purposes. The bubblers have been turned off this year because they don't comply with ADA regulations. The next Common Council meeting is on August 14th. With the return of measles to Wisconsin, vaccination rates remain relatively low in the state. With more, here's Civic Media's Melissa Kay.
While vaccination rates held close to the previous year when disregarding the new meningitis vaccine requirement for 7th through 12th graders, rates are still below the 95% needed to prevent an outbreak. 89.3% of Wisconsin students meet the minimum vaccination requirements. Last year, whooping cough surged in Wisconsin classrooms. Nearly 3,000 cases of this vaccine-preventable illness were reported to DHS. Now, with measles cases having been reported in the state, DHS officials warn that one out of every four people in the U.S. who contract this highly contagious disease are hospitalized. Stephanie Schauer, director of Wisconsin Immunization Program, says routine vaccines don't just protect your child, they help keep classrooms and the whole community safe.
Wisconsin has the second lowest rate of childhood vaccinations against measles, trailing only Alaska. The warm-up begins today as hot, humid temperatures return by the end of the week. Today will be sunny with highs in the low 80s. Tomorrow, we'll add a few degrees to the high as temperatures will reach the mid-80s and conditions will become more humid. Thursday, highs will climb to the upper 80s, and Friday, most places will be into the 90s as humid conditions also settle in. We'll have rain chances over the weekend and temperatures will come back down early next week. We'll have more details on our Civic Media forecast. Download the free Civic Media app now at civicmedia.us/app. For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
A setback for the Pack. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports from the Packers training camp, where defensive back Nate Hobbs, who's been lining up with the first team, is now out for at least 3 weeks after having knee surgery over the weekend. Matt LaFleur.
The thing that you admire most about him is he's passionate about the game and he loves to compete. That's one of the reasons why we went out and got him. He shows it and he's that consistently on a daily basis.
The team has brought back defensive back Corey Ballantyne after he was let go last week by the Colts. Baseball, Brewers and the Braves play again tonight in Atlanta. The Crew winning 3-1 last night. They've now won 12 in a row with Quinn Priester on the mound.
With how much usage that Uribe and Mears and Koenig and the usage that they've gotten is just astronomical. But to now have Quinn give you a break and, you know, to be able to get 7 innings in a game is huge. It's a great thing. Really important.
That's Brewers manager Pat Murphy with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
Come work with us. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, warm and muggy, low 60 to the low 60s. For tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds, a few showers and storms around. Highs climb to the mid-80s. Storm chances continue Wednesday night, diminishing as we look on into Thursday. It's 82 right now.
Not completing high school is more of a social thing than it was an academic thing. Even though all these years have passed, I still had that longing to have my diploma.
At age 30, Carissa finished her high school diploma.
If you're even considering getting your high school diploma, you can do it.
No one gets a diploma alone. If you're thinking of finishing your high school diploma, you have help. Find free adult education classes near you at finishyourdiploma.org. That's finishyourdiploma.org. Brought to you by the Dollar General Literacy Foundation and the Ad Council.
The Todd Allbaugh Show.
NFL Hall of Famer, College Football Hall of Famer, Mr. Joe Thomas. You were telling us a little bit about being drafted number 3. You skipped the draft.
I went fishing that day, and I never did it for anything other than I just much rather spend the day fishing with my dad, and I'm hoping that that's a story that keeps being told and gives people a reason. Like, you know what, instead of working today, I'm going to go fishing with my kid. I'm going to make the time because it's impactful. It's memories that they're going to remember for the rest of their life.
The Todd Allbaugh Show, weekdays 2 to 4 on your local Civic Media radio station, and on the app. Jane Mattenair and Greg Bach.
Coming up on the show, political consultant Joseph Pecky will join us. We're also going to talk tariffs and so much more with Derek Van Ruden and wrap it up with This Shouldn't Be a Thing. Join us.
Mattenair on Air, weekday mornings 9 to 11. This is the talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM.
From Milwaukee to Marshfield, where passion meets purpose and policy meets people. This is the Maggie Dawn Show.
They're not there to serve you and me and the family farmer. They're there beholden to billionaires and their corporate overlords.
Get ready to challenge the status quo with a fresh perspective on the issues that matter to you.
You see our nation fraying and fracturing.
This is not normal. This is not the country that I grew up in.
Breaking down the complex world of policy and politics with clarity, conviction, and just the right amount of fun.
Correct. We know better. We know better.
Clip that.
Lawyer, economist, and fearless advocate for the truth. Here is Maggie Dawn.
Well, Maggie's not here. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm guest hosting along with Angela Lang again today on the Maggie Dawn Show all across the Civic Media Radio Network here in Wisconsin. I'm delighted to be with you. Delighted to be joined by you too. Angela, how are you doing?
I'm good. I feel like despite the air quality yet again in Milwaukee, it's been a good day. It's been very sunny and I feel like my mood has been lifted when I was at the office today with my team.
Oh, good. Good day at the office.
How about you?
I had a good day. I was looking at, I had a Carolina wren in my yard yesterday. I'd been hearing it for about 10 days and I hadn't seen it. So I was questioning whether my ears were right. And I don't have the Merlin yet, which all the bird watchers have. This guy from Cornell that it's an app you put on your phone and you hold it up outside and it'll tell you every bird that's singing. But I've been reluctant to get one just because I'm old school and but I thought it was a Carolina wren and then there it was, so I felt like my ears are still working. I don't need the Merlin yet, but I think I'm gonna get it next spring. But yeah, I had a good day. I'm looking forward to our show, very excited about the show today because at 4:35 we have State Rep Robin Vining coming on, and then former State Rep Katrina Shanklin at the top of the next hour. So I'm looking forward to those conversations. Those are two political leaders who I have great respect for, and I think they have a lot to tell you and me and our listeners. And our listeners can join this conversation anytime they want at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. You can also text on that same line. You know, just yesterday, Angela, we started doing this thing together, this day in history. Kind of stealing some thunder from Pat Tritlow, but he doesn't own history.
Inspired so by.
we can do it. And, you know, I've always been fascinated by history, and I studied it back in school. And I think it's important to give us a perspective on things. So we're going to run through some dates here. The first one, and I'm going to cheat a little again, because you and I aren't going to be on air tomorrow.
Yes.
So I wanted to at least be able to pay my respects today to the victims of the bombing of Hiroshima, because after all, it was August 6th, 1945, 80 years ago tomorrow, that the United States dropped an atomic bomb on Hiroshima, Japan, killing 70,000 people that day, and then up to another 70,000 in the months that followed. And I went through the archives to find Harry Truman announcing the bombing dryly, and so I want us just to listen to the first minute of that, Jacob, if you could play that, and then I want to talk about it a little bit.
A short time ago, an American airplane dropped one bomb on Hiroshima and destroyed its usefulness to the enemy. That bomb has more power than 20,000 tons of TNT. The Japanese began the war from the air at Pearl Harbor. They have been repaid many fold, and the end is not yet. With this bomb, we have now added a new and revolutionary increase in destruction to supplement the growing power of our armed forces. In their present form, these bombs are now in production, and even more powerful forms are in development. It is an atomic bomb. It is a harnessing of the basic power of the universe. The force from which the sun draws its power has been loosed against those who brought war to the Far East.
Sorry about the audio quality, but that's what you get with the recording that was made 80 years ago. It was creepy, though, to listen to the whole thing, because he goes on and on for a couple minutes. Jacob may have heard the whole thing. And you, the listener, can Google it, just Harry Truman announcing the bombing of Hiroshima. It gets really creepy because there are a couple takes. You can tell they broke and he came back on. And he's giggling at one point. So, it just really gave me the creeps. It reminded me of George W. Bush, you know, talking about bombing Iraq and then saying, look at my golf swing. In the next breath. That's what happens when you're running the empire. You can go kill 70,000 people and laugh about it, or 500,000 people in Iraq if you're George W. Bush. So, I think we need to commemorate the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki 3 days later. I also want to give a shout out to anti-nuclear activists in Wisconsin, in particular Bonnie Erfer and John LaForge at Nuke Watch up at Luck, Wisconsin, who for decades have been educating the people of Wisconsin, the people of this country, about the risks of nuclear war. And they're courageous folks. They've gone to prison for nonviolently protesting against nuclear weapons and nuclear war, and spent years and years in prison, both of them. Very valiant folks. Also a shout out to Vets for Peace and Peace Action Wisconsin for commemorating these bombings every year. And you can Google them and see where there will be events, probably on Nagasaki Day, lanterns and other, making lanterns and putting them up in the sky or in the water to commemorate the victims. So also a shout out to my friends at the Progressive Magazine, where I used to work. I'm the old editor, Irwin Knoll, used to say, nuclear war is topic A over here. And also the scientists over at Bulletin of the Atomic Scientists, keeping us aware of the real dangers, which, grew more real just last week when Donald Trump sent nuclear submarines closer to Russia. I mean, this is a four-year-old with nuclear weapons as toys. So it's alarming, and it's always this time of year in August when the anniversary of the bombings of Hiroshima and Nagasaki come around. It's just a time for real reflection. The United States, the only country that has used atomic weapons in war. And even conservative folks like George Will just wrote a column a couple of days ago saying, how long are we going to be able to escape before there's another bombing with all the nuclear weapons that have been proliferating all across the world? So it's an intense subject. I'm going to prefigure the poem that's coming up right before we get off the air. And in the last half hour, I found a poem that I'd never seen before, written by a survivor of the Hiroshima bombing, which is just an incredibly powerful poem. So that's tops on my list. The other a couple others I wanted to mention. One was on this date in 1962, Nelson Mandela was arrested by South African police, sentenced to life imprisonment for conspiring to overthrow the apartheid regime. He served 27 years in prison and was released in 1990, later, of course, to serve as president of South Africa. And I remember the day he got out of prison, and what an emotional day that was for anyone who's concerned about racism or apartheid. It was a great day. He was always a hero of mine in college. I had a button on my shirt with his name on and face on.
And he's more radical than what people, I think, give him credit for. And so it's very interesting to see this kind of like universal like belovedness from him. A few years ago, around this time, actually, for commemorating him. There was an exhibit at the Milwaukee Public Museum, and it was my birthday weekend. So I was like, I'm going to take a little solo trip. And I went to that exhibit, and I mean, I already known, right? But like to see how people talked about him in a little bit more of a radical sense than I think what he's, you know, and same with MLK, right? Like they're definitely both two men that I think were a little bit more radical when you really peel back the layers. And it was a really powerful exhibit. And I'm so sad it's not like a permanent exhibit. It was only a temporary one around this time, but it was great.
I mean, totally. You know, the speech he gave when he came out of prison was a speech that wasn't full of soaring oratory, but it was a speech about politics, about his radical politics and the need not only to tear down apartheid, but for economic justice in South Africa, too. Similarly to MLK and his Poor People's Campaign and MLK, you know, talking about the Vietnam War, which is an incredible speech, too.
I'm going to clarify real quick, like the idea of being radical, right? I want to clarify what basic things like being, you know, anti-apartheid shouldn't be a radical thing. Asking for universal health care, it shouldn't be a radical thing. Asking to close prisons is not a radical thing, but knowing that it is for some people, it is deemed a little bit more controversial. But I want to be clear that like asking for basic necessities and basic humanity and dignity is not radical by any sense of the word.
And also saying that the Vietnam War was immoral wasn't a radical thing either. But Martin Luther King was warned by his aides not to go there, warned by funders not to go there, and yet he went there. And it was just a tremendous speech. And then he talked about economic justice. Then he was in Memphis, you know, with the garbage workers. He was, you know, planning the Poor People's Campaign. He was talking about economic rights. And not just racial equality, but economic equality. And it may have been his undoing, too, unfortunately. But, you know, he was very brave and had a wide scope, just as Mandela had a wide scope. It wasn't just about, you know, ending apartheid. And he was head of the African National Congress, which was a communist organization. We shouldn't shy away from saying what he was. He was a proud member of the ANC. And also, truth be told, he wasn't for nonviolence. He used violence with the ANC to help overthrow the apartheid regime. I'm a nonviolent guy, but you know, at some point, with these struggles for independence, it was necessary for folks to take up arms in Nicaragua and in Cuba, and it was just a fact. So, yeah, saluting Nelson Mandela today. I also wanted to mention 1981 on this date, Ronald Reagan, not my favorite president, fired 11,500 air traffic controllers, which was the opening shot of the right-wing counter-revolution that we're still in the midst of. And our very own Scott Walker pretended to be Ronald Reagan when he dropped the bomb on the people of Wisconsin, to use his own phrase, and, you know, went after public sector workers here. He was mimicking Ronald Reagan. He was pretending to be Ronald Reagan. So that was something we should take note of and stop the glorification of Ronald Reagan too.
Please, please, please. Every time I land at his airport, I'm like, ugh, why? I hate it. I hate it.
I still call it National Airport. You know, I came to Washington just a couple months before Ronald Reagan was voted in. Carter was running against Reagan, and Barry Commoner was a third-party candidate on the Citizens Party ticket, and a lot of my progressive friends were voting for Barry Commoner. And, you know, I flirted with third-party stuff. I was a Nader guy. I actually worked for Ralph Nader, too, before I supported his presidential campaign. So, but at that point, I saw Ronald Reagan, and I had heard enough about Ronald Reagan, and I was urging my friends on the left not to vote for Barry Commoner and try to get Jimmy Carter reelected, even though he was terrible economically with the Federal Reserve policy and the unemployment and all that. But then we got Reagan, and it's just, you know, with the exception of the Obama presidency and Clinton, though they were neoliberal, we've had you know, the ramifications of Ronald Reagan that we're still living under. And you've got a couple anniversaries we're going to get to right after the break. I'm Matt Rothschild. She's Angela Lang. We're subbing in for Maggie Dawn on The Maggie Dawn Show. And you can join by calling us at any point or texting us. Just give us a holler. We'd be glad to hear from you. The phone number is 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC on the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to The Eagle, WLCX, La Crosse's home for Nightlight with Pete Schwabe.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. You may think racial gerrymandering happened long ago and just in southern states with legacies of suppressing African Americans. Think again. Anti-voter legislatures around the country still employ racial gerrymandering to retain political power. In addition to recent racial gerrymandering cases involving African Americans in Alabama, Louisiana, Florida, South Carolina, Texas, and Arkansas, there have been multiple racial gerrymandering complaints from Native Americans in North Dakota and Hispanic Americans in Washington State and Texas. To provide equity and representation, the Voting Rights Act Section 2 allows districts of dense populations of minority voters to choose the candidate of their choice, but elected officials continue to evade those rules. South Carolina's legislature split Charleston by moving 30,000 residents from 11 of 12 of the highest concentrations of black voters into another district. In the words of the lower court, bleaching Congressional District 1. Louisiana's population is almost 33% black, but Louisiana's legislature defiantly drew only one of its six congressional districts as a majority-minority black district, diluting the rest of their vote. A county in North Dakota elected its commissioners at large to reduce the chance of a Native American candidate being elected. Tomorrow, we'll tell you how some states prohibit gerrymandering and create fair maps. I'm Brian Beal.
Where working people come to talk. It's the Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network. Join me for an honest approach to the issues American working families care about. No talking points, no focus groups. Get ready for a heavy dose of democracy, fairness, grit, and no apologies. It's current affairs from a working class labor perspective. Facts are center, science is real, and everyone gets a seat at the table. The Rick Smith Show, weeknights at 9 on the Civic Media Radio Network.
I was stuck in a state of panic and endless rituals, so I made the call.
Mental health care works when you make the call. Visit mentalhealthcareworks.org. A message from the American Psychiatric Association Foundation.
Reach, engage, grow with Civic Media. Log on civicmedia.us/advertise.
Hey, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show, all across the Civic Media Radio Network here in Wisconsin. Maggie's out today. I'm Matt Rothschild, guest hosting for her, along with my wonderful co-host, Angela Lang. And you can join the conversation anytime by phone or text. The number for both is 855-752-4842. Angela, I wanted you to weigh in on some dates in history that caught your attention.
Yeah, so there's two. One, again, we're cheating, but I hope the listeners give us grace because we're guest co-hosting. We're filling in, so we're not on tomorrow. So we get to talk about tomorrow. But tomorrow is the anniversary of the Voting Rights Act that helps be able to make voting fair and accessible for folks. And we've been a part of a coalition with the League of Women Voters, Souls to the Polls, NAACP, a host of wonderful organizations. And if folks have been watching those social media accounts, we've been trickling out various videos talking about why it's important to vote, why it's still important to talk about the Voting Rights Act and that we are the VRA. Special shout out to former Attorney General Eric Holder, who recorded a video for us. Lovely, brilliant, phenomenal. I'm obsessed with her role in Scandal of Miss Olivia Pope. Kerry Washington also recorded a video for us talking about the Voting Rights Act. And we have so many more. We actually have County Executive Crowley. I have his proclamation in the trunk of my car.
Oh, that's neat.
And he has a video out as well. And so tomorrow we will be holding a press conference at Ezekiel Gillespie Park at around 9 a.m. to commemorate the anniversary too. So very excited about that. And then the last one to end on a bit of a silly-ish note is that 2 years ago today, we had our unofficial holiday in the Black community of the Montgomery Brawl. And so for those that don't know or were not on Twitter or social media at the time, There was basically on this this boat dock, a bit of a racially charged altercation. And next thing you know, there's a whole racially charged brawl. And the security guard threw up his cap, and that was kind of the signal that it is on. You had a young man jump and swim in the water. He was nicknamed Aquaman, or Aquamane is what we called him. And while it was silly and the memes and the skits and the TikToks were very hilarious, I wanted to talk about it to know that, like, there was something very satisfying about racists kind of getting their real life karma immediately, and understanding that there was a whole community of folks, whether it's like he threw up the bat signal with the hat, and then what that meant for other people to come in, defend him. And he was just a security guard just trying to do his job. And there was this kind of racially charged incident that happened. So on the blog page, I demanded a couple weeks ago, our media team kind of put together a graphic and acknowledge it. But there was something very healing. And I think the Black community, especially Black Twitter, we make jokes out of everything. We laugh to keep from crying. While that was kind of funny on a social media aspect, it was something very satisfying about seeing community come together to defend the security guard.
And it was Montgomery, Alabama, with its sordid racist history, too. So that was an overlay.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was saying, I was like, I tell folks all the time, we were having this conversation in the office today, and I was like, that was the ancestors. You know, I've been, when you go to places like New Orleans or Montgomery that are in, you know, such rich history, there's a certain energy, not to be all like woo-woo, but like there's a certain vibe. You feel that like historic energy there. And that's kind of how I felt when Montgomery happened too. I was like, that's the ancestors getting a little bit of payback.
There you go. You're listening to Angela Lang, my co-host as usual on the Civic Media Radio Network. By day, Angela Lang is the executive director of BLOC, Black Leaders Organizing for Communities. You can join the conversation at 855-752-4842. That's 855-75-CIVIC. And we have David from San Francisco on the line. David, what's on your mind?
Yeah, how are you, Matt and Angela? When you were talking about radical notions, I'm surprised you didn't raise that most radical notion, taxation with representation. Texas legislature business is all about taxation with representation. And, of course, there again, Governor Abbott and Trump and Paxton, the Attorney General of Texas, they're opposed to taxation with representation. And I was just going to remind everybody that apparently Trump's call to have this redistricting comes up because he claims that the census was flawed and that Texas didn't do it right because of the flawed census. And gosh darn it, who was the president in 2020?
Well, David from San Francisco, thanks
for
that
call. I think
we
all remember.
And, you know, Trump says he's entitled, or they're entitled to five more seats.
I saw that.
That was kind of a crazy talk about privilege. We're entitled to get five more seats by hook or by crook with gerrymandering. And I've been opposed to gerrymandering, whether it's Republicans doing it or Democrats, for a long, long time. And what's going on in Texas is outrageous. I don't want the Democrats to mimic it either. Let me just put that out there. I know times are rough and people say, including Tom Hartman, who I have a great deal of respect for, but I'm not on board with, you know, if they're doing it, we're going to do it. We got to fight these folks a different way and not just throw our principles out the window.
Yeah. And it was interesting too. So, you know, folks are kind of following the situation. The Texas Democrats have fled the state. And the first thing that I said was like, oh, they're pulling a Wisconsin.
Right. We've seen this play before.
That's what we did. Yeah. And so it's very interesting. You know, I do think that they're talking about the theme that we always talk about, this level of resistance. Very curious to see how they continue this level of resistance with something like gerrymandering. Something to watch.
Yeah. Well, we're right back on the Maggie Dawn Show. Number to call, 855-752-4842. We have Representative Robin Vining coming back. She wants to flip the state Senate right here in Wisconsin. So you want to stay tuned for that.
You're listening to the Talk of La Crosse, Eagle 1490 AM. Join the family. Civic Media has a number of great jobs across the state. Open now at civicmedia.us/careers.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska. With all of the impacts of wildfire smoke from Canada this summer, what about the risks of wildfires here in Wisconsin? With more, here's Civic Media's Parker Olson.
Wisconsin wildfires are much smaller than the ones in Canada and the western U.S., but just as there are more fires sparking out west, the same goes for the Badger State. This year, 971 fires have burned over 2,500 acres in Wisconsin.
In the last 2 years, we've definitely seen some earlier fire seasons, so longer duration fire seasons. And typically, it's been kind of that March, April is kind of our peak, but we're seeing earlier peaks to our fire season over the last couple of years. So definitely earlier snow-free conditions across the state, and we're having fires statewide.
In the 8 years from 2015 to 2023, there were a total of 33 fires in the months of January and February. This year and last year, there were 200 in those months. Weather is the primary factor on how many fires may occur in a year. Snow plays a key role in the changes to Wisconsin wildfires. Civic Media meteorologist Brittany Merlot says the years that are supposed to be colder and snowier aren't delivering the snow and temperatures that allow nature to defend against fires. On the other side of summer, according to prescribed burn specialist Michelle Witeka, droughts are putting Wisconsin at greater risk.
Climate change right now is most definitely impacting our summers. We are dealing with more long-term drought. That guarantee of, you know, no wildfires occurring during this time, because it is literally the vegetation is too flush with moisture, that is not something that we can hang our hat on anymore.
With both ends of fire season extending, it's easier to accidentally start a fire. 98% of Wisconsin fires are caused by people. That's why experts say to be cautious, avoid burning on dry, windy days, and make sure that embers are out when you're done. For Civic Media News, I'm Parker Olson.
For 1490 WLCX, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. Fantastic Four, The First Steps, was tops at the box office this past weekend, despite a bigger attendance dip than prognosticators initially thought. The film opened strong with $117 million last weekend, but dropped off by almost 70% to pull in only $40 million this past weekend. According to Variety, that is a sign the film has not connected with audiences beyond superhero fans. The film is sitting at $198 million domestically and cost $200 million to make. Coming in second place was The Bad Guys 2, which brought in just under $23 million, matching the original film's take on opening weekend in 2022. Audience scores were through the roof, which could mean the film will be in theaters for a while. Landing in third place with $17 million at the gate was the highly anticipated The Naked Gun. The film pulled in another $12 million overseas. Audience scores for this comedy are also strong. Superman and Jurassic World Rebirth rounded out the top five. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Rebuilding and refreshing local radio one station at a time. This Civic Media radio station is proud to be a part of your community. Learn more at civicmedia.us.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Tonight, mostly cloudy, warm and muggy, low 60 to the low 60s. For tomorrow, a mix of sun and clouds, a few showers and storms around. Highs climb to the mid-80s. Storm chances continue Wednesday night, diminishing as we look on into Thursday. It's 82 right now.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
Frank Anderson, who is the founder of Wisconsinology.com. You were great in the documentary. That's really exciting.
I'm really not as a documentary filmmaker because I get bored so quick. You have to really dig into your subject, and you got to show up every day, sometimes for years,
yeah,
to let a story unfold or to find a story. I'm good for one day.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Doctors Without Borders is delivering life-saving medical care where it's needed most in communities around the world. From bandaging war-wounded patients in Sudan to providing clean drinking water in Haiti, we're in more than 70 countries worldwide, bringing patients from sick to recovering, from emergency to aid, from crisis to care. This life-saving care is made possible by a global movement of supporters like you. Thank you.
Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome photographer and musician Chris Rogowski. And Madison film critic Rob Thomas talks about the box office and upcoming movies. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8.
remember when we broke up the first time, saying this is it, I've had enough.
Hey, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show, all across the Civic Media Radio Network, right here in Wisconsin. Maggie's out today. I'm Matt Rothschild. I'm guest hosting, along with my wonderful co-host, as always, Angela Lang. And we are going to be joined momentarily by Representative Robin Vining. Delighted to have her on the screen with us. And you, if you're listening, can join the conversation anytime by phone or by text. The number for both is 855-752-4842. That's 855-752-4842. Or as we like to say around the office here, 855-75-CIVIC, because we're on the Civic Media Radio Network. So, Representative Vining, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show. I know you were on with Maggie about 10 days ago, and I appreciate you making time for us again.
I'm so happy to be back. Thanks so much.
So, for our listeners who didn't hear that interview that you did with Maggie, why don't we just start with the most basic question? You know, why are you running for the Wisconsin State Senate?
Yep. So after 15 years of fighting, after marching around the Capitol in 2011, and then fighting for the last 15 years for the things that we believe in, we finally have a chance to win. And our chance to win, the path to the majority, runs right through the 5th Senate District. So I'm in there ready to fight for the 5th Senate District so that we can flip the legislature and fully fund our public schools and work on address child care and affordable health care and mental health care and our gun violence crisis and climate action. Like these issues, affordable housing, these are all issues that we want to address. We've been stuck for the last 15 years, unable to win. And now we finally have the chance to win. So I'm super excited about that.
I can imagine the excitement because I know I've been in the Capitol when I was at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, and I know Angela has with Block, and just know how things were so stymied there and how the Republican leadership actually was not only blocking everything, they were rude about blocking everything and just dismissive of not only what Democrats wanted, but what a vast majority of Wisconsinites want. Because what the Republican leadership is doing in the state capitol is not the work of mom and pop Republicans around the state. They're working for Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. They're working for Diane Hendricks, and they're working for Dick and Elizabeth Elon. Those are the people they work for, not everyday Republicans who are, you know, maybe fiscally conservative and socially liberal. They're working for the billionaires here, the billionaire class, as Bernie puts it, but and the huge corporations that get their way through Wisconsin Manufacturers and Commerce. You know, Representative Vining, you mentioned the 2011 Act 10, and I heard you talking with Maggie about this was the moment that politicized you. Do you want to tell us a little bit more about that? Because I've always said that Scott Walker was a great organizer of us on the pro-democracy side.
Yeah, I was happy to flip his old assembly seat.
there you go.
2011 is the time that so many of us realize how intimately state government affects our lives. It affected the lives of my family, my kids, and I think there was no other choice but to get involved. So yeah.
I was a college student at that time, and that I literally gave a presentation today or yesterday, and it's my running joke. That is the moment that radicalized me. So shout out Scott Walker for radicalizing me and making me the organizer I am, because I had been doing a lot of nonpartisan work before then. And then I was like, all right, I see the path here. And I think, as you said, Matt, like that was a really big organizing moment for a lot of us too. So we got that in common.
And Representative Vining, I got to know you when I was at the Wisconsin Democracy Campaign, and you were the chief sponsor in the state assembly on a bill for fair maps. Talk about the importance of fair maps or fair maps.
Well, people deserve representation, right? Your government is supposed to work for the people. It is the people's house, and the government should work for the people. But when the maps are rigged, when elected officials are choosing their voters instead of voters choosing their elected officials, our democracy is not functioning as it should. And, I ran in 2018. I was the first to flip, we were the first to flip a seat on that Republican gerrymander. And we won out of 34,000 votes. We won by 138 votes. So we barely won. And you know, I often say, candidates don't beat gerrymandering, communities do. The effort that went into people being able to have their voice heard in Madison was massive for us to be able to win that seat. And that was because we were on rigged maps. So of course, as soon as I got to Madison, I wanted to be involved in making the maps more fair and fighting for fair maps. So one of the first things I did as soon as I got there.
Before we get to the fair maps that we're now operating under, I wanted to follow up on your ability to flip a very purple, was kind of reddish purple district there in 2018. How do you appeal to people, or how did you appeal? How do you continue to appeal to people across the political divide?
So we and I already have a follow-up, just so you know.
I would say it was a red seat in 2018. I don't know that I would even call it purple. We just saw a mathematical opportunity. So at the time we were assessing that seat, I think we generally thought, if I can remember off the top of my head, I think it was about a 3.7 favoring the Republicans. So about a plus 3.7 for the Republicans. But we thought we had about a 6-point enthusiasm swing for the Democrats that year, which meant we had a chance. And so we knew it was gonna be hard. It may be impossible, but we thought we had a chance that we had to go for. So, I think it was a red seat that we flipped. But it had been, originally gerrymandered about 10 points red. We were watching it shift, and we thought it got into the range where we thought we could maybe pull it off.
And I love that. And I think that, you know, we talk about it all the time, like how close elections are in Wisconsin, especially in the assembly side, and you mentioned it yourself, but also like the statewide side. And so I have seen this trend for many, many years of we almost need to sacrifice some progressive values if we need to win, or we're going to throw communities under the bus, or we're going to do tough on crime ads because we think that we need to have a particular message. Can you speak about if you agree with that sentiment? And if people feel that they need to sacrifice their values because the landscape in Wisconsin is very, very close, a lot of times less than 1%.
Thank you for that question. Progressive ideas are popular. Progressive ideas are popular. People want fully funded schools. They want affordable health care. They want to end gun violence. They care that we address the childcare crisis. They want affordable housing and clean air and clean water. Progressive ideas are popular. We should not be afraid to tap into the values that got us elected in the first place, or not tap into, stick with them, because progressive ideas are popular.
Great answer. I see so myself because I get very frustrated just like personally from seeing a lot of candidates that are, I literally had a campaign manager for an undisclosed statewide seat that said, we just need to get them elected and we can be progressive later. And this was at the expense of the Black community and some tough on crime things, like ads that they felt that they had to do. So it's very encouraging and very refreshing. And I hope other folks that are thinking about statewide races, including governor, kind of take that advice to heart too. Well,
and I'll add something to that. I think the most important thing to be as a candidate is authentic. And if you are not yourself, people will figure that out. And they are electing, you know, people say all the time, people who vote for all different parties, they say all the time that they vote for people, not parties. And so it is really important to be authentically yourself. Tell the truth. Who are you? What do you believe? And that matters to people. So I've tried to live by that.
It's appreciated, you know, and noted.
You're running against Rob Hutton, who holds the seat. I assume he's running for re-election. We don't know, right?
We don't know. I don't assume. I always want to respect his choice and his family's discussion on that. So I don't assume, right. But sure.
This is a possibility to flip this district. And Representative Jenna Jacobson's got a race against State Senator Howard Markline over in the Richland Center area. And if you're successful, you'll be able to change who runs the state Senate. And we've been waiting a long time for that change. So a lot of us have been holding our breath here. And we're
no pressure.
we hope you succeed, and also that the Democrats are able to flip the assembly and also hold on to the governor's seat. So that's yeah. it's a big wish list. But what could happen if those things come true?
Well, public schools are at the heart of our communities, and I think they should be at the heart of our state budget. So I want to see a proposal that puts our public schools at the heart of the state budget. That's not a partisan issue. That's a constitutional right in Wisconsin. So there's my starting point. I want to see affordable health care and affordable quality health care across the entire state of Wisconsin. I want us to address the mental health crisis that we are in all corners of the state. I want to make sure that we are funding mental health in K-12 the way that we need to be. I want to look at childcare as early childhood education. We should look at the education of a child from birth through college or the trades or whatever the next stage is. We need to look at that at education from birth forward. That's early childhood education. We need to address gun violence. We know what to do. We're not, it's not a mystery. We know what to do. We need to pass universal background checks. We need to pass red flag laws. We know these things. And we need to do work on climate action. So, but we need to address, I personally am looking forward to addressing, the climate change or climate's effect on public health as the climate the effect on public health, and then really in looking at racial disparities and how that's affecting people, and in particular, like kids in our area, how like we know that asthma rates are much higher in MPS than they are around the country. It's almost three times, like about 2.5 times the national rate, the asthma rate in MPS. So, you know, public health is affected by climate change. We see the disparate effects amongst racial disparities. And so we have a lot of work to do. We know housing is already unaffordable, which really brings us back to public school funding. If it's already unaffordable, you don't want a school referendum driving up your cost of living. So we have a lot of work to do. So I am really excited to get to it.
I appreciate how clear you are. You're like, we're going to do this, 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 or these are the values. This is what we need. And not only is it very clear and concise, it's things, and I just said this in the last segment, it's just like things that shouldn't be controversial, things that aren't deemed as radical. Who doesn't want clean air and clean water? Who doesn't want quality public schools, right? Like those should be basic fundamental values. And I agree, bringing it back to my previous question, that shouldn't even be seen as like a lefty, progressive, radical thing. These are general things that are popular across the state.
Yep. And fair maps.
And fair maps.
So
of course. You need a reason. Process that we can rely on, that we know is going to be fair to the Wisconsin people in the next round.
Absolutely. But in the meantime, there are fairer maps than there were under the Walker rigged maps of 2011 and 2021. And what effect is that going to have on your ability to capture the seat?
Oh, you mean like this map? Well, this map, this more fair map is about a 51-49. We have like a 1 to 2 point advantage on this map. So it's a tight race. It means we need to work hard.
So you have a good shot at it. I hope you'll stay with us after the break, because I've got a couple more questions for you, and I'm sure Angela does too. You're listening to the Maggie Dawn Show. I'm Matt Rothschild. Angela Lang is co-hosting with me. We've got Representative State Rep Robin Vining, who's running for the State Senate, and she'll be with us right after this quick break.
Connecting audiences, powering brands. This is Civic Media. Learn more at civicmedia.us/advertise.
Texting enrolls you into reoccurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates may apply.
Hey, Dan, how you doing? Haven't seen you around the gym for a while.
Yeah, I've really fallen off. Since I turned 40, I just don't get the results I used to get.
Could be lower testosterone.
Lower T?
Yeah, I went through it a while back. Once you hit 40, your body has less free testosterone. I got Nugenix Total T, and it's made a huge difference for me.
I've seen that ad on TV. Is it for real?
Oh, yeah. The key ingredient is something called Testnor, which helps boost free and total testosterone levels to help you trim up and stay lean.
And it's made a
difference for you?
Man, I feel like I'm in my 20s again. At work, in the gym, and in the bedroom.
Are they still giving out complimentary bottles for people to try it for themselves?
Yeah, you just need to send them a text.
Text ALL to 321-321 right now for your complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total Tea, the number one selling testosterone booster at GNC. Plus, text now and we'll include a bottle of Nugenix Thermo, our most powerful fat incinerator ever, to help you get back into shape fast, absolutely free. Text ALL to 321-321. That's ALL to 321-321.
I'm Dan Schaefer. Let's recombobulate. With Governor Tony Evers choosing not to run for a third term, that means we're going to have the first open race for governor in 16 years. We already know who some of the candidates will be. On the Democratic side, Lieutenant Governor Sarah Rodriguez launched her campaign, and Milwaukee County Executive David Crowley said he's running. On the Republican side, Washington County Executive Josh Shulman and Southeastern Wisconsin Business Executive Bill Berrien are running. Many more are expected to join the race. And it's not just governor that will have an open race. We could see open races for attorney general, lieutenant governor, secretary of state, and state treasurer, too. Couple that with what's happening in the state legislature, no longer under gerrymandered maps, the year 2026 is going to bring a rather unique moment for voters in Wisconsin to determine the path forward on a fresh new era for the state. I know some can be wary of change, but let's embrace this as the real opportunity that it is.
Find all of Dan's work at the Recombobulation Area. Matt Nair on air.
I have a baby bird stuck in a birdhouse.
Its head is stuck.
Terry on the text line says, if you can detach the birdhouse, bring it to Ace Hardware, they can help get the bird out?
Really? Richard from Waukesha, you get the last word on this.
I like the idea of the Ace Hardware.
Yep.
But some advice is don't let them talk you into a remodeled bathroom.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, yes.
Matt Nair on air. Weekday mornings 9 to 11 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. Mornings with Pat Kreitlow.
One of the most basic things that a free people could want, not going bankrupt because of healthcare. If it sounds like I'm banging my head against the microphone, yeah. It's that we are having this discussion about having to hold benefits for people because they didn't have proper health insurance coverage, because they're threatened with bankruptcy, which again happens in no other developed country in the world.
Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, weekdays 6 to 9 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app. As Wisconsin has summer weekends being spent on the lake, this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
Hey, welcome back to the Maggie Dawn Show all across the Civic Media Radio Network here in Wisconsin. Maggie's out today, so me and Angela Lyng are co-hosting. I'm Matt Rothschild, and delighted to have as our guest still Representative Robin Vining, who's running for the state Senate. One of the issues that I've heard you talk about, Representative Vining, is the importance of postpartum Medicaid expansion. Do you want to talk about what that is and why that's important?
Right. So right now, postpartum coverage for women in Wisconsin is only 60 days. And the expansion, or really it's an extension. You're not expanding government. You're actually just extending the coverage from 60 days to a year. 48 of the 50 states have already done it. It's just Arkansas and Wisconsin that haven't. And the our state Senate has passed it 32-1. Our very conservative state Senate has passed this 32-1, and the holdup is in the assembly. And it's wild. It's wild because we actually have 74 co-sponsors of this bill in the state assembly, 29 Republicans. And we only need 50 votes. So you would think that we have 74 votes if we have 74 co-sponsors. However, it's being held up. We can't get it passed. So we are stuck as one of only two states in the nation not providing life saving health care for Wisconsin women.
And who is holding that up?
Yeah, exactly. I'm like, what's the holdup?
So, I mean, like,
I want names. No, I'm kidding.
I mean, so the speaker says it's him. The speaker says he is not allowing it to go through. He has a personal feeling against it. But I will say this. So during the state budget process, I was the lead author on an amendment and put it forth to add it to the state budget, looked right at my 29 colleagues across the aisle, my 29 Republicans and our 45 Democrats, that we have the votes to add this to the state budget. The speaker's saying he's not going to let it go through the process, but we have the votes right now. We can add it right now. And every single Republican blocked it. So the speaker can say it's him, but we watched every single Republican, even the 29 co-sponsors, even the author, the first two authors on the bill, they all blocked our ability to add it to the state budget. So right now it looks like Republicans are holding Wisconsin women up from getting the life-saving health care that they need.
That's why they call them Boss Voss. And for all the moms out there, I mean, you know how hard it can be after you deliver a child and how much you need health care coverage. And to have it cut off after 60 days is just appalling.
It really
is. I would even say not even if you're a mother. Like, I have friends, I'm 36, I have friends that are in their mid to, you know, late 30s. And there are folks that are like job hunting or like taking into consideration the leave policy as they're thinking about starting potential families. So this is like, and I add this note because I think people oftentimes think are like, oh, you have to be a mother to care about this issue. And I'm like, what about people that want to be mothers that are like, you know what, I don't know if like this is something I can do given the current political landscape. And that's actually really sad of like how people think about starting families these days.
And what does it say to Wisconsin women that the state, that their state government is not willing to prevent preventable deaths?
Yeah.
I mean, like the message from the state government is unconscionable. It's unacceptable. I'm super deeply disappointed in the legislature right now for its failure to pass postpartum Medicaid expansion, for sure.
I mean, that's just a clear example of the people of Wisconsin not getting what the people of Wisconsin want, what the people of Wisconsin deserve, because, you know, one person, Robin Voss, very powerful person, won't let it happen. I mean, it's just ridiculous. Democracy's not working when one person can stop what the vast majority of Wisconsinites and even the majority of our legislators on both sides want.
Yeah. And I'll even expand the conversation for a second. It's not just the women who are affected. It's the family. So when like the leading cause of deaths are mental health related and they're after that 60-day period. And when babies don't have their primary caregiver, like able, like engaging with them in a healthy way because they're going through a really difficult time, that affects the infant's brain development, as I'm told by the pediatricians who have come to talk to us. And so we're talking about the next generation too. So not only are we failing Wisconsin women by not preventing preventable deaths right now, we're failing the generation that they're raising. When they don't have their moms at full health, and really full health is what the women deserve and what the babies deserve from their caregivers.
Representative Vining, you've done a lot of work on mental health care. Talk to us about that and why that's so important to you.
So thank you. Mental health care is health care. And it's really important to me that we normalize the conversation around mental health. And I have written a bill package called Mental Health Care is Health Care. And it's for 10 or 11 bills right now, but this is mental health bills addressing the workforce, expanding the workforce, diversifying the workforce, helping people know LGBTQ kids know their rights. Increasing access in K-12, increasing access at the university level, and for veterans, and also making sure that your insurance is required to cover mental health visits. And I don't know if I missed anything, but we have about 10 or 11 bills at this point, really trying to tackle this mental health crisis from as many angles as we possibly can.
Well, congratulations to you for all that. That's just crucial work. We only have a minute left or so. If someone who's listening right now wants to support your campaign or find out more about your campaign, what can they do?
Well, first of all, I want to tell you that we believe that the Wisconsin State Senate is the most flippable chamber in the country and that this is the most flippable seat. So if you want to support us, this is a great investment. We are hoping that this is really going to empower us to live out our values. They can go to my website, Robin for Wisconsin.
That's Robin, R-O-B-Y-N.
It is, F-O-R-W-I.com. And we've got all the information there for you.
Well, thanks so much for being on the Maggie Dawn Show again. Yeah. It's great to see you. Great to speak with you.
And good luck.
Yeah, good luck on the campaign trail. And we'll be right back with former Representative Katrina Shankland, who will talk to us about messaging here on the Maggie Dawn Show all across the Civic Media Radio Network. You're not going to want to miss that either.
soaring high above La Crosse. This is Eagle 1490 AM WLCX La Crosse and streaming everywhere on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The Trump administration is considering releasing transcripts from meetings between Deputy Attorney General Todd Blanche and Ghislaine Maxwell about the Jeffrey Epstein case. Maxwell is serving 20 years for sex trafficking. ABC's Aaron Kutursky on what we could learn.
We would know how she answered questions about what her attorney said were some 100 different names associated with Jeffrey Epstein over the years. Whether she said anything particularly incriminating, if it's consistent with how Maxwell has described her time with Epstein over the years, it may not be terribly incriminating, could be embarrassing for sure.
Maxwell was moved to a lower security facility after talks with the DOJ. The Texas House did not have a quorum to reconvene again today. About 50 Texas Democrats